Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Well, many of us, even though we're kids at heart, we're getting ready to file our taxes if we haven't already. The date is looming large. April 15th is coming up. And one of the most important questions you have to answer when you file your taxes is, who is the head of your household? Who is the head? And Lorraine says, I am. Who is the head of your household? And for most, that means who is the primary breadwinner in the household? Who's bringing home the bacon, frying it up in the pan, right? For many folks, that also means the head of the household also means that's where the buck stops in the household. That's where the buck stops, figuratively and literally. And family relationships, they come in all sizes these days. Family relationships, there's no such thing today as a traditional family the way we had maybe 30, 40 years ago, even when I was growing up. But family relationships, they come in all shapes, all sorts of sizes. Husbands, wives, mothers, fathers, stepmothers, stepfathers, brothers, sisters, stepbrothers, stepsisters, uncles, aunts, stepuncles, stepaunts, grandparents, stepgrandparents, steps, havesies, you name it. We have all sorts of permutations of family today. And one of the things we want to look at this week is, how does the authority of Jesus impact these family relationships? Okay? We've been talking about the authority of Jesus over the past couple of weeks. And that's a big question. How does the authority of Jesus impact my family? How does the authority of Jesus impact my household if I'm the head of the household? How does the authority of Jesus impact my family day in, day out? It's a big question. We're going to take some time this morning to look at this. Jesus actually addresses this in Luke chapter 8. And over the past couple of weeks, I've been asking you to read and reread Luke chapter 8. Read, reread Luke chapter 8, Luke chapter 9. And as you've been doing that, I've been asking you to reflect on one question. And that question is, who or what is your master? Who or what is your master? To whom or what are you compelled to say yes to? Hopefully you've been reflecting on that. And if you haven't, I'm going to bring it right back up into your face every Sunday between now and Easter. For followers of Christ, we've been learning that we all have to come to grips with the authority of Jesus. At some point now in our lives or at some point down the road, we're going to have to come to grips with the authority of Jesus. When we do say yes to Jesus, his authority begins to have a dramatic impact across the entire spectrum of our lives, including our relationships with our families. This morning, I want to take a look at just a couple of verses in Luke chapter 8. It's an encounter with Jesus and his earthly family. And Jesus, his ministry is growing, he's influential, and he's on the road, he's an itinerant pastor, he's heading every week to a different synagogue to preach. And every week, the scores of people hear by word of mouth that Jesus is coming to town, and they're coming from everywhere to hear the word that he is preaching, to be touched by him, to be healed. They want to see a miracle. They're looking for Messiah. They're hungry. And in the midst of all of this, in Luke chapter 8, verse 19, we read, now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but he was so busy they weren't able to get near the place where he was at because of the crowd. And eventually someone recognized Mary and all of Jesus' brothers, and in verse 20, someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. And instead of doing what you or I would probably do, Jesus does the exact opposite. Instead of inviting them in and saying, hey, give them a seat on the front row, honored guests, Jesus says, yeah. My mother and my brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Amen. This had to be stunning to everybody who heard it. Almost may have come across as disrespectful. And as I read this passage, it just feels out of place in Luke chapter 8 with everything else that is going on. And I ask myself, why is this mentioned here? Why is this written in this part of this chapter, in this part of the story, when we consider that Jesus is addressing the authority of his kingdom in this particular passage? It sheds some light on Jesus' comments with regard to his family in Luke chapter 8. You see, the authority of Jesus supersedes even our family relationships. The authority of Jesus supersedes even our family relationships. We say, blood is thicker than water, right? But obedience to Jesus is thicker than blood. Loyalty to Jesus supersedes even loyalty to family. And you're like, whoa, that's a hard message to hear. When it comes down to it, followers of Jesus are going to submit to the authority of Jesus even above the authority embedded in our modern family units, in our modern family relationships. In this particular situation, Jesus seems to be simply dismissive, kind of his mother and his brothers waiting outside to see him. But later on in Luke's gospel, he actually cranks it up an even higher notch. He actually kind of almost goes over the top. He cranks the point up into overdrive. If you flip forward to Luke chapter 14, another setting, he's talking about family. And in Luke chapter 14, verse 26, he says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciples. That's a hard teaching, isn't it? Jesus' comment here, it almost seems insane. It doesn't seem consistent. It's over the top. A lot of people say, this is the verse, Pastor. This is the verse. This is why I cannot follow Jesus. This is why I cannot believe in Jesus. How can he ask me to hate my family? How can he ask me to hate my family? And the other question I get from people is, do I really need to hate my family to follow Jesus? Where's the answer to this question? And what I would like to point out to you this morning, Maplewood, yes, this is a very hard teaching. Jesus, he's very over the top some of the times to make a point. He's really trying to make the point that his authority supersedes even family relationships. Hate, I want you to hear me this morning as we kind of unpack this teaching. Hate is against Jesus' nature. Okay? Hate is against the nature of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, the scriptures teach us that God is love. God is love. So how can Jesus be consistent by telling us to hate our family? I'm confused. Who's confused? Anybody confused? Come on now, be honest. How can he do that? It's a fair question, though. I think, you know, if anybody's going to read the Bible and we're going to study the Bible with any credibility whatsoever, we have to address some of these hard passages in Scripture and understand how they fit into the broader picture, the broader arc of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. It's a fair question, and it's a fair reason to have question or pause about whether you would want to follow Jesus, because it seems hypocritical, contradictory. Jesus is known for making radical comments. He's known in his teaching for making radical statements, to make radical points to his followers, because following Jesus requires radical change in our lives. Jesus is making a contrast here. He's trying to make a point. And boy, you think family is important today? Family was even more important back then. Family was even more important back then. And Jesus is making a contrast here so that people can understand the seriousness in which we must apply the authority of the kingdom of heaven to our family ties on this earth. How in the world, Pastor, can I reconcile God is love, but Jesus says, hate my family? I want you to look at the point that he is making at the end of the passage in Luke 14 here. If you go all the way to Luke 14, 33, he preaches upside down some of the times. Here's the point. The point is, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. To follow Jesus costs everything. It will cost us everything. So what is, he said, yeah, exactly, even your own life. So what is going down in this passage? What is happening here? What is Jesus trying to say to us when he says, hey, if you're going to follow me, you got to hate your mother, your brother, your father, your sister? What is happening here? And I really think it all boils down to this. And I found this chart that we can put up here on the slide. As far as hate is from love, the authority of Jesus supersedes our family relationships, or the authority of our family relationships. I want you to digest this. This is hard to understand, okay? But as far as hate over here is to love, they're on two opposite ends of a spectrum, right? Two opposite ends of a spectrum. You got hate on this side, and you've got love on the other. They do not ever intersect. They're two opposite ends of a spectrum. As far as hate is from love, that is how much the authority of Jesus supersedes the authority of family relationships in this world. Here's hate. Over here, here's love. They're total opposites. And as much distance there is between these two, there is that much distance between the authority of our family down here and the authority of Jesus up here in our lives. If you think of a NASCAR race, anybody a NASCAR fan? Come on now. Now, I love a little NASCAR every once in a while. I even got to ride around the Daytona Raceway in the pace car to start a race once. It was very cool, very cool. But as these cars go around the track, typically in one of these races, the fastest car wins, right? And most of the time, the fastest car laps the cars that are in last place. And that means they go past the car, right? And they're so far in front of the last car in the race, there's no way, unless you crash, there's no way that that last car is going to catch up with you. That's how far ahead in front the authority of Jesus is to the authority of family relationships that are embedded in our culture and the world. We should still love our mothers and our fathers. It's in the Ten Commandments. We should still honor them and love them deeply. We should still be our brother and sister's keeper. You're like, oh. But yeah. Jesus says, he's making the point here that my authority supersedes. He's trying to get you. He's trying to get your attention. We should still be our brother and sister's keepers. Family ties still matter. But when push comes to shove, our allegiance as followers of Jesus primarily lies with his kingdom and his authority, as we become followers of Jesus Christ. He's not going to ask you to do anything that contradicts his teachings, his word, his authority. But I want you to see what he's trying to teach her. He's saying, as far as hate is from love, that's how far my authority is higher and more powerful than the authority of any of the relationships that bind us on this earth. Now, I got to thinking about this too. On the flip side, not everyone loves or has good relationships with their family members. We live in a broken world, right? I mean, not everything is cupcakes and roses in families across Springfield. As a matter of fact, we see a lot of broken families, don't we? The signs of brokenness are everywhere, and not everyone loves or has a good relationship with their immediate family members. It's a sad fact of a fallen creation. Some children despise their parents. Brothers do hate brothers. Sisters do hate sisters. Too many families have been broken by sin and selfishness. The sin and selfishness that kind of rule this world that we live in every day. But the authority of Jesus supersedes these broken family relationships that we may be dealing with in our lives. I want you to see this morning. It's a beautiful thing. It is a beautiful thing. The authority of Jesus supersedes the broken relationships in our families just as much as he supersedes the authority of the ones that are good. And that authority has implications for us when we choose to follow him. When we choose to follow Jesus, there are implications of this authority. Followers of Jesus, if we're truly going to follow Jesus, we are going to be forced to deal with unfinished business among family members where there may be a little bit or no love at all. I want you to hear that this morning. If we're going to follow Jesus, it's going to compel us to deal with unfinished business with our family members. It may be relationships that have been broken over the years. The authority of Jesus demands that we extend forgiveness, even if it's not deserved. Even if I'm right and they're wrong, I've got the moral high ground. The authority of Jesus says, forget that. Throw your pride away. You must forgive your brother or your sister for any enmity that may be there. You must extend grace. The authority of Jesus demands that we ask for forgiveness. Because you see, a lot of the times we have a role to play in the broken relationship. Maybe we're the one who did the thing that broke it apart. Maybe we're the one who has to say, as Arthur Fonzarelli would say, I'm sorry. Maybe we're the one who has to ask for forgiveness for past transgressions. The authority of Jesus demands that we learn to love those we may deem unlovable or unforgivable. Sometimes family relations are tough, right? To be hurt by a family member, to be hurt by blood brings a special kind of pain. A special kind of pain. A type of pain we may say is impossible to overcome or heal. But I'm here to tell you, friends, this morning that the authority of Jesus is bigger than that pain. The authority of Jesus can heal that relationship. Can heal that relationship. The good news is that the authority of Jesus has the power to bring healing to our broken relationships. The authority of Jesus has the power to make us even want to reconcile those broken relationships within our family. To reconcile those very painful wounds that cut close to the heart. The authority of Jesus has the power to make things right. For followers of Jesus, if we're going to follow Jesus, he demands that we reconcile with our closest family and allow his love to supersede any type of familial love or hate that may exist for mother, father, sister, brother, step, XXX, havesy. And there's another piece of good news, I think, buried in what Jesus is trying to teach us this morning about how his authority impacts or should impact our family relationships. No longer is our family background, our family tree, the source of our identity. No longer is our family history the single source of our identity. Jesus now becomes the prime radical in our lives when we accept him as Savior. He becomes the prime radical in our lives. Jesus becomes the root of who we are. I'm not who I was before I met Jesus. I'm a different person. He is changing me into a different person. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? It means I'm following him and I'm allowing his Holy Spirit to work in my life so that he can be transforming me to be a Christ-like person from the inside out. In the Church of the Nazarene, we call that holiness or sanctification. But that simply is what following Jesus is all about. It's about allowing him to change us from the inside out to become more Christ-like. Jesus becomes the root of our identity. Jesus becomes the prime radical in our lives. The spiritual, the kingdom of heaven, supersedes the physical, the kingdom of this earth, when we are born again, when we are born of the Spirit. When we decide to follow Jesus, we are regenerated into a new person. And this spiritual authority of Jesus supersedes the kingdom of this earth in our lives. The authority of Jesus rises to the top of the very ladder. If we had a ladder here this morning, the authority of Jesus would go to the very top, and its influence trickles down into every little nook and cranny of our life. He's quite simply making the point here that the authority of his kingdom is even greater than the authority of our immediate family, and even greater than the physical authority of our DNA. That's pretty crazy, isn't it? And I'm not saying that it happens physically, but I truly do believe that when we allow the authority of Jesus to permeate our lives, he actually changes our spiritual DNA. Our spiritual DNA is changed. The component of sin and selfishness is knocked out, and the authority of Jesus comes in and places in that his love and his holiness, and our spiritual DNA is changed. And that is the change that's happening from the inside out that makes us more Christ-like. It's what the Apostle Paul was writing about when he penned the words, "I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives within me." When we choose to follow Jesus, he jumps out in front of the line, and his authority supersedes everything, even our family ties, even our identity, who we were in the past. His mother and his brothers were also followers, and they were following him around too. They had t-shirts. You know, they had the tour on the back. Went to Jericho, Decapolis, Judea, Jerusalem. They're following him around as he taught and healed and lived out his earthly ministry. And when they show up, I'm really sure he had missed seeing them. I miss my mommy. Man, I miss my dad. So when they show up, yeah, he misses them. I'm sure he missed them. But instead he says, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." God bless you. So one final aspect to what Jesus is teaching here that I'd like to cover with you in our final few moments this morning, and we'll close it down. When we allow the authority of Jesus to reign in our lives, not only does it change our identity, it expands our family. The authority of Jesus, it expands to anyone, our family, to anyone who follows Jesus and lives under his kingdom authority. The faith family, look around you. Our faith family becomes even more vital in our life. Sometimes our faith family becomes even more vital than our earthly family for survival and so that we can grow up into who God wants us to become. As a matter of fact, the church often becomes the family many people have never had. The church becomes the family people wish they would have had growing up. We can become that family, and not a broken family, but a beautiful family, a loving family, a caring family, a family that extends grace to one another, even in the midst of our shortcomings and our brokenness. It's a beautiful thing when people come together and we just accept each other how we are. Isn't that Maplewood? I love it. I love our church family. When we submit to the authority of Jesus, we enter into a brotherhood. We enter into a sisterhood with one another. We become brothers and sisters in Christ. When we follow Jesus, when we decide to commit our lives to him, one of the things that happened is not only are we saved and cleansed and given this new start, but part of that new start is we are adopted by God as his children. Scripture says that. We are adopted into his family as his children. We become heirs with Jesus. Heirs, brothers and sisters with Christ. And sometimes it makes our relationship with our earthly parents and brothers and sisters even sweeter than it was before. You know, it's one thing to have somebody in the family who doesn't believe, and, you know, you have others who do. And some of you have experienced this when that family member comes into a relationship with Jesus. It just does something that makes the relationship so much more special. Because not only do we share blood, but we share faith. Not only do we share DNA, we share a common hope of salvation in Jesus Christ. When the authority of Jesus reigns in our lives, when we are following him, we can truly say, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. So to wrap things up this morning real quick, Jesus does not literally teach that you should hate your family members. Okay? He's not teaching that. Instead, he's making a radical point. He's demonstrating that his authority supersedes even the family structures we've all grown up with. And his authority has the ability to enhance your identity. No longer am I just Joseph Case, son of Harvey and Lois, brother to Karen, Dan, Julie, and Jeff, husband to Victoria, father to Curtis, Stephen, Andrew, father-in-law to Taylor and Emily, head of household to the IRS. But I become Joseph Case, child of God, brother in Christ, born of his spirit, washed in his blood, brother to everyone at Maplewood who calls Jesus Savior, not just pastor. You know, and in some church congregations, they call the pastor father. Nope, not father, not pastor, brother in Christ. And it's my honor to be your brother in Christ. It's an honor to be a part of this faith family. But it's not just about going to the BMV and getting a new ID card. You can change your name. Some of you have done that. Go to the courthouse. It's more than going to the courthouse to get my name changed. The authority of Jesus can only have this type of impact on us when we are willing to give to God the keys to our heart. This can only happen when we are willing to give God total access to our lives, total access to our family, total access to our talents, total access to our checkbook, free entry into our homes and our family relationships. There's a part of me, I'm going to be blunt. I'm your pastor. It's my job to poke and to prod and to pull you closer to Jesus. But there's a part of me that wonders if God is withholding a fresh outpouring of revival in our individual lives and our faith community because we have withheld our family relationships from him. Maybe the reason the prayers seem like they're hitting the ceiling and not going anywhere is because we've withheld our family relationships. It's hard to give up authority over our earthly family relationships. I'll just be straight up with you. What Jesus teaches is very challenging and difficult. I have to give you my children? My little ones? I have to give you my grandchildren? I have to forgive that relative who really hurt me? I have to love them even if they don't deserve it? They're wrong. I have to love them? The radical answer to all those questions is yes. Then and only then, for some of us, that is when it means we will have come to grips with the full authority of Jesus in our lives. So this morning, as we close out, I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I don't want you to stand. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes where you're at this morning. And just in this moment of reflection, I just want you to ask the Lord to help you take inventory of your family relationships. Family relationships from your parents to your siblings, spouses, children, steps, anybody in your family orbit. Is there any single one of those relationships that we've withheld from submission to God that may be holding back more of His Spirit in our lives. Maybe for you to go deeper with Jesus than you've ever gone before means allowing the authority of His kingdom to have power over those relationships. Father, we come to You this morning, Lord, and we are an imperfect people. Lord, sometimes the things that hold us back spiritually are the things that have cut so close to our hearts in the past. There's unfinished business, unresolved issues in relationships. Unresolved matters of the heart that need to be surrendered to You. Action to be taken. Reconciliation to be made before revival can come. Can truly come in our individual lives. Before revival can truly come in our church and in our community. Because the reality is, Father, it all starts at home. And this morning, Lord, we want to recognize Your authority even over our family relationships and apologize for withholding maybe some of these relationships, maybe even making some of these relationships idols that we worship more and say yes to more than we say yes to You. Give us the strength and the courage to surrender our families and our family relationships to You. It's a scary step. We pray, Father, that You would just move in and that You would inspire, that You would heal, that You would love on us, that You'd give us wisdom. But Lord, I pray that You'd help us to realize that as followers of Jesus, it's on us to be the bigger person and to make the move to make things right. It's on us to make the move. We can't control how other people respond. But it's on us as followers of Your authority to be the bigger person, to be the first mover, to be moved by Your love, to heal and to touch our families in a new and fresh way. Lord, we love You this morning. We want to go deeper with You than we've ever gone before. This morning, we want to come to grips with Your authority over our families. Father, I pray that You'd be working in our hearts and our minds as we leave this place. May this sermon create discussion. May it create additional moments of prayer and reflection this week. May Your Holy Spirit work in us and work on us until these things are resolved. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue. Or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.